Welcome to Just Because I Love You podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, you're affectionately called Carla. Today, we're addressing a question from a listener about abortion and vaccine mandates. Aren't both sides being hypocritical? Also, we discuss resisting the temptation to be a complainer and how to balance having high standards with contentment.
I can't wait to hear what we're going to talk about today.
You don't know?
I mean, I know the topic, but
yeah, I kind of feel like it's difficult to record the introductions before we've had our conversations, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's more difficult to record them after and then have to lay them on top of each other and edit. So,
okay. If they read the descriptions that I type out, that gives a much more complete picture of what the episode is than even the intro and the title.
Here's what we should be listening to you say that thing right now. If it wasn't a good enough introduction.
Just once, what we should try to do is get the MP4 file to me. And then I have to re-download it. But I have some really good software, and all it would be splicing and moving. It really wouldn't
right.
be that
it's
hard.
It's not that it's hard. It's that it's time. Well, it takes time to upload two separate
it's
chunks.
It's just annoying.
Two chunks of audio, then you put them together, and then you have to export them. That sounds like Marcy, by the way.
Megan went to check.
Megan went to check on her, but it's your kid.
Oh, man. I put her to bed.
So anyway, I was going to say that we should all introduce ourselves. Boom.
That was my baby.
The bump.
Tammy's pregnant belly grabbed the microphone and threw it to the table. It was something to behold. Okay, well, I guess we're going to pause for a second.
Okay.
Okay, we're back. It's Just Because I Love You Day. There are 11 children, not counting the unborn. And
of which there's one.
There's only one of those.
That we're aware of.
And so it's a little bit wild. And nobody's outside right now. They're playing behind me. And right now everything is jolly and happy. So even if it sounds like there's something amiss, at this exact moment there isn't. They're just loud. Yeah. So anyways, I'm Amanda.
I'm Megan West.
I'm Tabby.
I'm Marla.
Megan's the only one with a last name.
It's not important.
I don't need an introduction. And I did want to do a quick statement like we talked about earlier today. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, and if you're trying to share it with somebody who hasn't listened before, I highly recommend you include a link, because it's very difficult to find this podcast on the internet. I can't even find it. I was searching on Yahoo search engine earlier today, guys. We talked about it last night, and then today I was searching. I searched Just Because I Love You podcast. I searched Just Because I Love You podcast, Amanda McKinney, Tabitha Farkas. I thought, come on, both of two names.
Two names, full first and last.
I didn't use West because I figured that would be.
You know what? I'm glad I said my last name, because if you look up Just Because I Love You, Megan West. It comes up, first result.
Nope, only on your phone.
Yeah. Oh,
and only
no.
if you're on Google. I'm telling you, if you're on DuckDuckGo or if you're on Yahoo search engine or if you've never searched for it before and your phone hasn't yet learned your preferences, it's almost impossible.
So make sure you're sharing a direct link.
Yes.
And I actually canceled our deletion of the Facebook page.
You uncanceled it.
I uncanceled it. So we could have just an extra something when you're searching that it should come up there as well.
Marla,
so make sure you're sharing links. Sorry.
Marla always puts hers in her bio on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I tend to put the link in my bio on Instagram. So if
it's also on the Four Sisters, One Savior bio on Instagram.
Also on Four Sisters, One Savior. It's so on if Facebook. You want to send people there.
However, I just got back from the Fight Laugh Feast conference last week, and I know a lot of the ladies I talked to there don't have social media at all. They're not on Instagram. They're not on TikTok. That they're not wasting their time on.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So some of them, a couple of them have Gab, which I'm starting to post our links on Gab. But it's also hit and miss because we all have things we're doing. We're all raising children and teaching them and making dinners and cleaning our houses. So
that's why the podcasts or the episodes don't always go live till 9 or 10 p.m. sometimes.
Correct. After bedtime. And that's also why there's a lot of din in the background, because real life still happens even if you wanted to have a quick discussion with your sisters about something theological and cultural. So all that said, share a link with your friends. Don't leave them to try to fend for themselves to find it, because I can't even
find it. It may take 30 minutes.
Oh my goodness. You have to be real tenacious if you're going to try to find it.
Yes. So,
and humans aren't.
We're making it as difficult as humanly possible to find our podcast. So you're welcome.
It's exclusive.
So exclusive, the podcasters can't even find it.
Welcome to the club. You really had to work to get here.
You deserve a gold star.
So anyway, we did also have somebody who emailed our Four Sisters, One Savior email address, which at is Gmail. Four Sisters, One Savior at gmail.com.
Numbers, not words.
Yeah, yep. The number four.
So yes, go ahead and read.
I can read that.
It's just a portion of it, Marla.
Okay. So, and I quote, "I am a Christian and my neighbor is not. We had a great conversation about this the other week." She's talking about abortion. Sorry, I didn't read the first part. "And it confused me more than helped. My sisters are anti-vaccinations and I am not, but I am also not for them. My family is also against abortion. Both sides of each topic of these topics is hypocritical in saying it, because pro-abortionists say my body, my choice, but a lot are in favor of mandatory vaccinations. People who are anti-vaccination also want to claim my body, my choice, but don't believe that with abortions. Like I said, I'm against abortion, but if we live in a quote free country to believe what we want to believe, is it wrong as a Christian woman to say, no, I don't believe in abortion? But if we truly live in a free nation, we should stick to that and let people choose as we should be able to decide with vaccines, question mark. Again, this is something I've been pondering last few weeks. Keep going back and forth on it. Just wanted to hear what y'all think."
Yeah. So to clarify, the question is, aren't we being hypocritical because we say that we should have bodily autonomy when it comes to vaccines, what we put into our bodies with vaccines. Mm-hmm. And yet, on the other hand, we don't agree with the my body, my choice mantra when it comes to women who are having abortions.
Right.
So
also, what I think happened with the my body, my choice is that was already being literally chanted by feminists and by people who are pro-choice.
Abortion, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it became an adopted mantra for the vaccine, almost ironically.
Right. Mm-hmm. The conservatives were not actually saying, my body, my choice, I can do whatever I want with my body. They were just basically saying, hey, all of you choicers, what happened to
right.
all
Why
of that?
Why don't we get a choice here?
Right.
Why don't
we get a choice? So that's where some of the confusion.
You want a choice when it comes to stopping the beating heart of another human, but you don't think I should have the choice to refuse to put a medication or an elixir in my bloodstream.
Magic potion, if
which
you will.
They're hinging on the same argument is for other people. They're still trying to claim that the vaccine is for your neighbors. If you really love people, you would do it for somebody else. But the ironic thing is that they won't even allow a human being to live
right.
because they don't love it.
Because somebody doesn't want it.
Yeah. So it's, again, it was out of irony.
I will admit, I'm still kind of a little amazed that this seems like it's the same thing. Like, there are people who think that the two are comparable. Like, to me, first of all, there's a sense of a positive thing that you are wanting to do versus a negative thing that you're being prevented from doing that makes it different. Like, abortion, you're being told you can't kill somebody. Right. Whereas with a vaccine, you're being told you must insert this medication inside of you. That's a difference. And I'm still a little surprised that there are people who don't realize that there's a difference between a positive action and a, I guess, preventative action.
I honestly hadn't thought of it that way until you had brought it up however many months or weeks ago. I was like, man, that's actually a really good point. Right. There is a difference between saying you can't do something, which is essentially what a lot of the laws are. You can't murder, you can't rape, you can't steal, you can't whatever.
Here's the example that was given to me years ago. You can't kill somebody who's on their way across the street. You can't run over a pedestrian who's in the crosswalk, for example. But you also can't create a law that says you must help old ladies across the street.
Right.
It might be a good and nice thing. Mm-hmm. You might see an old lady on the corner and think she could use some help. But you can't use the power of the law and the police force and guns and prison to force people to do what you think is the right thing to do.
To be nice, essentially.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it can go off in many different branches. We can talk about just the fundamental misunderstanding of what abortion is. That's still my body, my choice is fundamentally wrong because it's not.
your body.
Right, right. The body in your body is not your body. The same. Yeah. Right. But you could also talk about how government and mandates and laws have sort of evolved, because it used to be very, very limited laws, because a lot of people were Christians and were under God's laws, and our government mm-hmm. was really, really hands off. Because what else could you put in place of God's law that's going to be as perfect? Well, nothing. But as people became more and more depraved and less Christian, we had to start making laws that seemed like no-brainers. Mm-hmm. And it stopped being things like, you just can't steal, you just can't murder, you can't do harm to somebody else. And now we're starting to make laws for people's betterment, quote unquote. Things like, we were talking about the seatbelt laws.
Right.
That's a good thing. And it's like, right, but they probably shouldn't have mandated that either.
But Tabby, it's for their safety.
Right, but it's tyrannical.
Right, yeah, the more immoral a society is, the more little tiny nitpicking.
Mm-hmm. Micromanaging
laws end up being exist. Written. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think that's the right way to do it. I was actually very convicted recently by a talk by Doug Wilson and Nancy Wilson about having fewer laws in your household too, because I think it's a mother's tendency, at least it's my tendency, to want to crack down. And the more our children are misbehaving, the more commandments yeah. we issue and start like writing them on the walls. Like, I literally yelled, that's it, no more markers. Right.
The walls are covered in rules.
Right.
This yesterday. Is the rule room. Look yeah. around.
Well, you guys, I don't know if you watched the video I shared with you, but
a little bit I did.
But they were saying you have fewer rules, more principles. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to have just a few overarching principles, like you will respect your parents. You will obey quickly, and you will have a joyful attitude about it. Like, that's it. Those are the
don't
family
lie.
Rules.
And don't lie. And yeah. Don't lie.
Was that one of them?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay,
yeah.
Tell the truth or don't lie.
Yeah. Don't lie, respect your mother, and yeah, something like obey quickly.
Obey with a cheerful attitude was yeah. part of it. But yeah, and then they're like, well, okay, but what about when you have kids jumping up and down on the couches, throwing cushions at each other, and they're about to break something? Like, we never said specifically, don't jump up and down on the couches and throw cushions at each other. So how can I realistically punish them or discipline them for that? Well, the answer was, you are expecting your children to think for themselves. You're trying to get them to a point of maturity where they're thinking about the principles of the mm-hmm. household rules on their own, and where you kind of go, yeah, but this is obvious. Like, this is the type of thing that I expect you, as an intelligent human being who's being raised up in an intelligent household, that you would figure this out.
Right. Like, this falls under this rule.
Having lived in the principle. Household with us for 3, 4, 5 years, you know, cross some T's and dot some I's and connect some dots. Like,
well, that's empowering too.
Yeah.
Right. That was their point, was that that's what you do with an intelligent child. You don't, condescend to them, or I almost said patronize, but again, I think this is often a mother thing. You don't baby them.
Right.
And infantilize them. And so that's what's happened in our country with laws, I think, where we, instead of expecting people to grow up,
stop finding loopholes.
Right.
Too.
Stop looking for sneaky loopholes so that you can do whatever you want. Think, do you know that there's a human being inside of your body, and that it's probably not a good thing for you to end that life for your own selfish purposes? Think, why should we have to write this out for you?
Right. We shouldn't have to literally show you the week by week progression of the baby to understand that pregnancy results in a human life.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that should be obvious. And anybody who says it isn't either is very, very dumb, or they're just trying to justify the fact that they don't want to have to obey these laws.
Well, I had somebody reach out in my personal Instagram and say that, you know, they agree, they understand the whole concept of abortion, but I think where they were frustrated was the same idea of, she was saying, I'm for less government. Right. And I said,
freedom.
I don't disagree with you. I said, but the problem is that kind of thing works when we're all, like Tabby said, living under the laws of God, or, you know, we've established these household principles. We're not doing that right now. So we have to show people this is not okay.
Hey, mommy, Caden's here. Look, it's a costume. It's a police costume.
Speaking of the law, Caden walks in wanting to be a police officer.
You can't hear Caden say anything without imitating him. Like, you have to repeat it in his voice.
Everything's an exhale.
okay, mommy. And that, it's unlike any of the other children's voices.
He's so excited.
I do it for strangers too, and they just look at me, but I can't help it. I'm like, oh yeah, my nephew, he'll say things like, let's look out the window. Right. And then they just look at me.
We do
like,
the impression and people don't realize how accurate it is. They're just like, okay. Is. No, that's how he sounds though.
Remember on In Marco, Corey was like, who is else is in like our four sisters Marco? And you're like, that's Caden. And he was like, Caden Branion, that's 2.5.
That tiny little toddler that voice is coming out of.
Yes. Yeah, you look at him and you wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
So funny.
He has a way about him.
Bless his little heart.
His expressions are interesting. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, bringing that back to vaccines specifically, the major difference here is between a law that's prohibiting murder mm-hmm. and a law that is enforcing you to act the way that somebody has deemed as the morally correct way to act. And so, yeah. Yes, murder should always be wrong. It should always be outlawed. It should always be prevented. And mm-hmm. that's abortion. And yeah. then on the flip side, medical procedures should always be optional. Mm-hmm. You should not be forced to walk ladies across the street, nor should you be forced to put a Band-Aid on your knee if you don't want it.
Treat your cancer.
You shouldn't be forced to treat your mm-hmm. cancer. You shouldn't be forced to take multivitamins. You shouldn't be forced to go to the gym every day and get exercise, even mm-hmm. if it's really good. You should not be forced to drink 8 glasses of water every day, even right. if that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the right to tell you how to use your body in the positive or proactive way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you are to,
gosh, so nice you wish they would.
You are to reap the consequences of those decisions as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just because right. it's not mandated and it's not forced, it doesn't mean, yeah, I mean, you can make the choices not to ever drink another drop of water in your life again, but you are going to have to face obesity. You are going to have to face the effects of dehydration. You don't mm-hmm. get a like check out of that.
Right. And it's not a consent thing. No. Sorry.
And once again, if you're still kind of struggling with this because laws are gray and they're hard and it's hard to figure out which ones are really good to have and which ones are not good to have, when it comes to abortion, all you have to remember is it's not your body. Mm-hmm. That's
another
it.
Unique human being.
It's and just not yours.
Start with that. It's another unique human being. So based on that fact, how does that change whatever this other person is telling me or whatever they're mm-hmm. accusing me of? So many Christians, I think, are afraid of being compared to The Handmaid's Tale, or they're mm-hmm. afraid of being compared to, you know, some communist or some really horrible person in history. You know, they're afraid of that. Of being cast in a negative light. And that's where I think the whole thing becomes very emotional rather than logical. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, it's one thing to have all these arguments in your back pocket and say, oh yeah, I know what I believe. I know the difference between a positive law and a negative law. I know the difference between being prohibited from killing and being forced to insert something in my body. I know that logically. But now my neighbor, she's still mad at me and she's saying really horrible things like, I'm never going to come to church again because of you. Mm-hmm. That takes on a whole different, you know, yeah. That causes people to have a whole different perspective, I think, mm-hmm. even if you thought you were clear on what you believe. You can't always be prepared for that emotional component.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like they might still disagree with you.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
They'll say you're not loving people.
Be okay with disagreement.
Be okay with being demonized. I mean, be okay yeah. with being mm-hmm. misunderstood and being accused of things that aren't even true because the other person doesn't have the same Holy Spirit that you have.
Yeah.
Well, and we just read that in our Bible reading challenge, didn't we? Mm-hmm. The verse where Jesus said, like, the world is going to hate you. Mm-hmm. It's going yeah. to hate you. No matter how lovingly you speak to them, they literally won't be able to hear it.
Yeah. On what, 13 or 14?
It's, well, 14. And no offense to Jesus or anything, but it's one thing to read it in the Bible. But and again, once you actually confront it in real life,
yeah.
that can be very shocking.
It hurts. Mm-hmm. And it even says it will be hurtful. Mm-hmm. I underlined that exact word because I was like, I never noticed that he actually says
it's not gonna feel good.
Yeah. Megan, we did a podcast where I said I was still surprised, still about somebody saying that I was a know-it-all, and I was like, ouch. Yep.
You're gonna have some wounds from that, Carla, and it's not gonna feel good. And every time you see that person mowing their lawn or something, you're gonna be like, oh. Yep, the wound's like still there.
Post-traumatic stress.
But you can still love them. You can still wave to them. You can still be friendly. You can still, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't
invite
have
them
to
over
affect.
For dinner.
Right. You can still have conversation with them. They'll they might not want come. To have conversation with you. Yeah. Yeah. But you don't, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this, it's, but it's, you've done nothing wrong if you spoke the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's something to really just
tuck away.
Should I share some people that they can follow for?
Oh yeah, for pro-life arguments. Because mm-hmm. this is not necessarily our, we talk about a lot of stuff. We don't mm-hmm. just talk about abortion. So if you want to have more information mm-hmm. on that specific topic, where can they go?
Well, for Instagram, Lila Rose Official, she's written a book, Fighting for Life, Becoming a Force for Change in a Wounded World. I will link all of these up in our description on the podcast, so I'm not going to spell You're things so out nice. For people. Liveaction.org, Abby Johnson, who used to work for Planned Parenthood mm-hmm. and another abortion clinic, has had one, maybe two abortions of her own
yeah.
and is completely on the other side. And I mentioned this in my personal Instagram the other day, that if you're feeling discouraged, look at the Abby Johnson story. Her, the veil was lifted from her eyes and she has had abortions. She's been working in the clinic. And
she helped others have abortions.
She's been on the complete opposite side. Here comes my son.
Oh my gosh.
He looks good.
He looks so adorable.
Caden, hold on, Caden. Caden, you look great.
Anyways, I was really encouraged just thinking about there are people who've been so extremely pro-abortion who are now the complete opposite.
Right.
That it is very possible for people who are feel moderately about it or, you know, on one side, you know, the other side, the dark side, for them to come to the light and see that it is wrong. It just takes
She's different Abby, things. Abby Johnson, pro-woman, pro-child, pro-family. I think
mm-hmm,
pro-life. I forget. That's a bunch of pros on Facebook, and she also runs. And then there were none mm-hmm. nonprofit, which is a ministry. Sorry, my nose is a little. Stopped,
I can hear it just a tad.
But her ministry is all about is helping like pro. Let's see. Abortion clinic workers escape the abortion industry.
I was going to say the other one that you had recommended to me a while back on Facebook is secular pro-life because a lot uh-huh. of people want to make the yeah. argument, well, you're a Christian. You shouldn't expect other people to have to look at the Bible for their, you know, moral guidance. And it's yeah. like, well, there's plenty of people who don't believe in God or are completely atheist or different religions who think that this is wrong too
it's because the science
it goes back to the, there's a human baby inside
well,
of you.
It's not. It's a little bit of a sticking point for me because I do think that the atheists and secular people who make moral arguments are not capable of doing that. They always say, I can be good without God. And it's like, well, but you can't though. That's like the fish saying he can be wet without water. Like you might not be aware of the water, but it's still there. And it's the cause of your
Do you think they're just a little bit Christian? Do you think they believe
Everybody
just a little
bit? Everybody
in
the West has been influenced by Christianity. Yes. Yeah. And they aren't yeah. even aware of how much they've been influenced by that mm-hmm. morality. But mm-hmm. it does work with a secular pro-choice person when they're like, oh, your religion, you know, doesn't have to impact me, or I don't believe the same way you do. It does work to say to them, oh, I thought that you could be good without God, and now here you are defending murder, so I guess I guess you can't.
Right. Yep. Well, it also just doesn't mention morality. It is still technically God's principles because it talks about biology and the gestational mm-hmm. weeks of yeah. humans.
That's
it talks
true. About science is still God's.
Right. So it talks about the science. Right. It also just talks about but if you science, pride yourself on being logical and you follow the logical train of
Right. But science and logic are not moral. Like
right.
That doesn't tell you what you should do. Okay, so we can prove that it is a human. We can prove it has unique DNA. We can prove that when you stick a vial of saline in its heart, it dies. But we can't say that it's wrong to do any of that stuff. Science doesn't mm-hmm. tell us what's right and wrong. And that's true of anybody at any stage of
right.
life.
No,
right.
It's just proving that it is a human life and we already have a law protecting human life. That's usually where they go, where we say we already yeah. have a law protecting against murder. So right. all we have to do for them is to establish that it is in fact murder.
The secular pro-life people believe that there's a do no harm philosophy that's just inherent in the universe. And they don't give it a reason. Like they don't give it a source. They just say, oh, we shouldn't harm each other. And it's like, why? And they can't answer that.
I don't mind to get off topic, but what are the, I mean, aren't they all vegans then too?
Not necessarily.
All of them.
No, but that's again why I don't like to necessarily spend a lot of time in those.
It's really prescriptive, really fast.
Yeah. I don't necessarily jive with the secular pro-life people for a very long time because I think most of them are on their way to Christianity. I think most of them are just a half step away from becoming Christian. And I think the people who try to keep Christians out of this argument are religiously discriminatory and they mm-hmm. need to be called out on that.
Yeah.
It's like, stop trying to silence me because of my religious beliefs. That's what Hitler did. Like, you know,
like that's and not that always good. Goes over very well when you compare them to Hitler.
When you start calling them Hitler or Stalin or any other, you know.
Are you calling me Hitler? Well,
tyrant.
If the mustache fits.
Stop!
If the swastika fits.
Yeah. Anyway, another thing, we're
not going to hit our second topic, are we?
It's okay. We can
we do a longer episode?
We can go a little over because Carla's been asking.
She has.
And my kid's still asleep, so go.
I was just thinking about unity this week, and you three were not at the Fight Laugh Feast conference. So,
I know.
You know,
I'm sad.
Wish we could have.
In the same headspace. But there were 1,300 people there, all families. More kids, I think, than adults, because the average family size is like 6.
It only takes 2 people to make more people.
Lots more people. But I was just looking around
next
at like
year, triples.
All these people who are on the same wavelength where it counts. I mean, there's obviously still diversity of opinion about whether we would get vaccinated in our individual families or whether we would be vegan, you know, or whether we would work in one industry or another. Like lots of, they all go to a lot of different types of churches, but there was still a lot of unity on the things that matter. And I was just contrasting that with when I got home, there was a comment that was left on the John Branion comedy page on Gab, where this lady was like saying stuff to Dad like, oh, you know, unity really belongs to the leaders. The leaders in the church clergy are the ones who need to make sure that we're unified, because if they don't, then we have to leave that church.
Like, wait, unified under what? Like unified under a doctrine? Unified under just right. God, period?
Well, here was the quote
probably from, lack of conflict would probably be her definition of unity.
So she's saying no, harmony, not
no,
unity?
No. Oh, no, okay. She is actually the source of most disunity. She and people like her are the source of the disunity in most
Woo,
of the churches.
Woo, look at you flinging this insult. Well, Let's hear the comment.
Hello.
Well, so the John Branion post was, let me guess why you quit going to church. Quote, you weren't getting anything out of it, right? There was nothing relevant in your life. You weren't being fed. You tried in earnest to make church a habit, but then you got tired of pantomiming your way through the worship services. I don't blame you for quitting. It's silly to keep showing up for events that don't make a difference in your life. Allow me to suggest an alternative activity to going to your church. Go to a real church. And by real church, I mean a church that does stuff like what's described in the New Testament. So let's do church the New Testament way.
Calling it Acts.
Right. And so he goes on to say, you quit attending church because you weren't actually going to a church in the first place. You were going to a Sunday morning concert. Concert attendees don't have everything in common. They don't sell stuff to meet each other's needs like they did in the early church. They don't regularly eat together in each other's homes. They don't even know the names of the people sitting behind them. When you show up at a concert expecting fellowship, prepare to be disappointed. Okay? But he says, I fully support the decision to quit attending Sunday morning concerts, but rather than staying home and complaining about your brethren, ask God to show you how to have everything in common with them. Because you don't fix relationships by abandoning people. Yeah. So I thought all of that was, there was a lot packed in there, but I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. And then there was this lady who was like, I don't want to have everything in common with them. I don't want to feel like I know it all like they do. I don't want to think my interpretation of scripture is the only right one like they do. I don't want to be in a clique. I don't want to have a monotone voice. I don't know what that has to do with anything. I don't want to be judged because I have emotions. I don't want to dress up just to go to a simple Bible study or to be pierced with looks for what I'm wearing. You know, blah, blah,
Goodness
blah.
Goodness gracious. Who hurt you?
Right.
Carla?
Right.
Good gracious.
So
I'm going to guess nobody.
I read that comment and I was like, oh my goodness. I just had this voice that was like, is that what I sound like when I'm trying to like encourage us to do better as a family, as a church, as women, as mothers and wives? Do I sound like this, lady? Like, do I think I'm being helpful in my constructive criticism when I'm actually just being an insufferable complainer?
Oh, don't, because that has literally been the anxiety of my life for the past 3 weeks, which is why I wasn't talking to you guys and why I was like, I can't come around. I just need to keep my big fat mouth shut.
Tabby isolated herself and put tape over her mouth.
This is,
but she was an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that was. I was a big bundle of this and that, basically. Like, yes and no. Mandy knows this. In fact, I knew it, and that also gave me anxiety. It was when I pulled away. Because
I texted you and was like, all right, what's going on?
And I texted her 5 minutes later.
Because she knows, and she said, whenever Tabby's not on polo, I always know something's up. And I thought that and was like, oh, no, I need to get on polo before they suspect.
Yeah.
Too late.
All right, so to answer your question, Mandy, and oh, I don't know if it was a rhetorical one, but I'm going to answer it. It would be the difference of somebody just complaining to complain, like I feel this woman is, and complaining and then providing a solution, or complaining and saying, okay, I don't want other people to feel judged by what they're wearing, so I'm not going to judge other people for what they're wearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be the solution. Mm-hmm. If you don't like, you know, the cliques that are happening in your church, okay, invite one and all to be part of, you know, your family unit.
To give her a little bit of credit, I don't want to say that she's complaining just to complain, the woman in the quote, not Mandy. But it wouldn't surprise me if when somebody comes along and tries to offer her a solution then, or say, okay, well, let's work on that, that she would be very much against that. She has already mentioned, I don't know if you read it, that it's not her job to make things unified.
Oh, yeah. She says...
Has that not been read yet?
The unity has to start with the leaders and the elders.
There you go.
She says, pastors stand up there and literally mock other denominations. What does that do to those who are from other denominations who are seeking God in another way? It just turns them away. Unity starts with the leaders.
There you go. See, not surprised. Maybe it's because I already knew how she was responding.
I mean, I guess I do agree that the leadership should also be following God's word and should be good role models. Sure. But it's also a groundswell.
Here's a thing that I'm not sure if Carla knows, and I think I'm only privileged to know because our dad, Tabby's and my dad, have been in church leadership for our whole lives, as a youth minister and an elder and then, you know, interim pastor for a while. We have a lot of insider information, and then Megan's husband's a worship leader. So it's a well-known fact among church leaders that if you've got somebody in your office upset about something in church, like on a Tuesday, something happens on Sunday and somebody else in the congregation is going to offer their criticisms and their solutions on Tuesday, it's going to be a woman.
Yep.
The person knocking on your door is either going to be a woman by herself or a woman who's dragging her husband along with her, but she was the one who said, we need to go talk to the pastor about this.
And here I don't have experience in knowing if that's true or not. Yeah, I will admit that right now. I don't know if that happens or not.
Yeah, because if a guy does have a complaint, he might tell the pastor, but it's a very different, it's usually a different solution. One, it's a different sort of feeling that the guy is talking to the pastor about. And this is what I was going to say is the difference, and I didn't get around to it because I went on a tangent. But the difference between like Mandy and this kind of woman is, whose fault does she think it is? Whose job do they think it is? If there is a complaint, you know, let's take it, like Megan said, let's take it on ourselves. Well, what could we be doing better? Is this really a me problem? Mm-hmm. Am I just feeling things?
And I would hope the church leadership would ask her that. You know, she can go ahead and go on her emotional journey.
The resident optimist.
But it should be. It should be turned back around and be like, I mean, you could acknowledge if this is a legitimate concern, if this is a legitimate problem in the church, your specific church, you can say, yeah, you know what? I'm owning up to that as, you know, as the church leadership, that is happening in our church. What are you going to do, dear woman, to help be that solution?
One time. I have only ever heard somebody say that one time as a church leadership, where he stood up and said, hey, I love all these suggestions. I think all these things are great. You guys always want to bring stuff to me. Mm-hmm. Go do it. He's like, I am one man, and it is not my job. Like, I need you guys to step up and be some of these things that you guys are saying our church needs or needs to do differently. He's like, you have my permission. This is my blanket statement. You don't have to come and ask me. Start doing it. And I was like, what? Because that's not how it felt like it happened when we were growing up. It kind of felt like the leadership then needed to bend over backwards trying to fix these quote-unquote problems and complaints.
Right.
And depending on what kind they are, you can't fix
there
them.
There are many people, particularly women, in the church who think that their spiritual gift is being the tongue, and the only thing that they need to do is tell everybody else what to do. We're bossy and controlling, and I'm raising my hand here because as women with a podcast where we do devote a certain amount of our time to talking,
we are kind of bossy.
This would be our temptation. This would be the place where we have the potential to fall off the ditch. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have all these solutions. If everybody would just do what I say they should do, then everything would be perfect.
Yep.
And I, reading the comments from this woman, and I'm not going to read all of them, and a lot of it, I'm not even sure if English was her first language, because some of the comments are a little bit broken and grammatically difficult to understand. But it seemed like everything that she was saying, she didn't even know what she was saying. She kept switching topics, and it was like, oh, the leadership needs to be involved more, and if you were saying this, I wouldn't want to come to church. And, oh, I'm not even trying to bring people to the kingdom of God myself. I'm just telling you what my experience is. And it's like, okay, so really, you just are talking. I mean, you're just talking because it feels good right now and not because you have a goal in mind or a solution, like Tabby and Megan were both saying. It's just because every time somebody is talking about something related to the church, because you go to a church somewhere, you think you need to pop in there and offer your two cents, even if it's not even really that relevant, or you don't necessarily know what to do to fix anything. So,
yeah, if you want to radically change your church, serve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the best way you can do it, is anywhere. Actually go serve. Yeah, anywhere, at any point. Don't think about, well, my gifts are. It's not about you. It's never about you.
Want to blow their minds? Ask, where do you need people right now?
Yes.
And then just do that.
Well, and I think it starts even farther back than that with just our perspective on what church is. And I think we've talked about this before, but it bears mentioning as much as possible. We keep bouncing back and forth between, oh, yeah, we're a family, brothers and sisters. Totally. Yeah, sure. To all of a sudden, now we're a corporation again, and the customer's always right.
Yeah.
And you cannot do both. Families function differently from Burger Kings. Mm-hmm. And if you're a woman who's going to go out on social media and be like, well, this is why they lost my business. This other church that I used to go to, they did this and this and this and this wrong. And so now I'm not a customer there anymore. Well, I'm sorry, but already your opinions on how to unify the church kind of go out the window, because mm-hmm. that's not how you're supposed to treat family.
Yeah.
And that's why I said earlier, she and others like her are the reason there is so much disunity in church in the first place, because their whole philosophy about church is backwards from the way that a family is supposed mm-hmm. to be. So how can we even begin to have those conversations and be solutions oriented and start fixing our problems together? When I know that if I say or do the wrong thing, you're going to go complain to the pastor. And if you don't get what you want from him, you're going to leave the building forever and go out on social media and blame me and the rest of the church building for it. That's not healthy. You know, that doesn't lead to intimacy and a functioning body and a healthy family.
I think, I mean, just from different, because I've traveled and lived in different places, and so I've been to different churches, and I know that the quote unquote cliques exist, but I also think these people are friends and family outside of church. And so if you see them gathering together and doing things, it may be more of a friend thing than it is a church thing. Yeah. And they're not trying to be so exclusive.
Join them.
Or just be happy that your sisters have sisters, that they have friends that they can go to. And if that's something that you desire, like we've said this whole last 10 minutes, find a way to create that. Find a way to do the thing that you desire.
Yeah. Well, and I think
make it happen.
If we are going to have church be more like a family, then we need to be prepared as women for the pitfalls, like I was talking about. And I think one thing we have to be careful about is our roles in our households are going to be slightly different than our roles in the church family, mm-hmm. because we tend to have a lot of dominion over our houses, like especially in the phase we're in now with our kids being very small. Mm-hmm. We're right a lot, mm-hmm. you know, because we've got people bigger. Trying to like pick their nose and jump off tall things. Like
at the same time,
it's very easy for us to go, very do this, dangerous. Don't do this, do this, don't do, because we have to, mm-hmm. you know, and we set the law. We talked about that earlier. Mm-hmm. And we're running the show, mm-hmm. you know, we're the cooks in our kitchen. And I think if we become too bored, or if we start looking at how to solve problems at church, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but if we aren't careful and our hands are getting a little bit antsy to find something to do, we can start to micromanage our brothers and sisters at church the mm-hmm. way that we kind of get used to micromanaging our own households. And so I guess there was a way to tie both topics from today in a little bit. Like I wanted to talk about having fewer laws. Mm-hmm. in the country when it comes to mandates for vaccines and things, and also having fewer laws at church for each other too.
Mm. And apparently fewer laws at home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I want it to be less about what less about what I think is right and more about what I think is good for the group. Less about what I think is right for me personally. Like I want it this way because I'm personally annoyed that it isn't. Right. And having more of a perspective and more of a mindset that this is what I genuinely think God wants for the group.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't include saying that God would want you to get the vaccine. Right. We're not talking about that kind of a thing.
We're not. Maybe he does, but yeah. I'm saying we as women have a tendency to get in a groove where we're like making rules everywhere, you know, because that's what
you get
we
a rule.
Do.
You I get have a, rule. A, you know, I have a theory about that because I think this is going to sound terrible because we're all so busy, right? And I say that with air quotes, Carla. So busy. But yet I feel like most of our problems stem from being bored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not actually busy.
Yeah.
Well, we're busy doing like the tedious things of like unloading and loading the dishwasher.
Sure.
And swapping out
our laundry. Hands are busy. Our minds are just not going. Busy.
They're spinning like crazy, mm-hmm. right? And yep. I think that that has kind of led us to this whole meddling almost just yep. meddling and meddling and meddling mm-hmm. and well surely this would fix it, this would fix so I wouldn't be so bored, or this would yep. fix so my life wouldn't look like it is.
Make sure we're building something constructive mm-hmm. and not just tearing other people's buildings down because we don't have spinning. Anything better to do.
Yeah
I think that's probably the crux of what I've been thinking about this week, to make mm-hmm. sure that all of my criticisms are those constructive criticisms and coming from a place of actually being comfortable with what God has called me to do and not from being some busybody, negative, complaining, you know, what else? What other adjectives can we throw at this? And we know
discontent.
The type.
Discontent.
Yeah, discontent. And we know the type too, because this we've talked about this in the public school category many times. It's like when you've got all these mama bears all trying to get their kid to have this preferential treatment and their specific way of doing things. You should be doing it yourself. God gave these kids mm-hmm. to you mm-hmm. and has you have their best interest at heart for a reason. A yeah. good.
You're feeling stressed about it yeah. for a good reason.
It makes total sense.
Because it's your job.
You and the 30 other women in that classroom are never going to be able to get along because right. there's too many cooks in that kitchen.
Yep.
You need to be taking your family home and cooking for them.
I am also okay because I tend to be more of this person, I think, than the my way or the highway kind of person. But if you're not going to come with a solution already or some idea already or some sort of give and take, you know, like if, for instance, we've talked about a woman going to the pastor. If you're not going to go to your pastor and say, here's what I think or here's a way that I think I can help.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with you going in with all of your feelings and kind of unloading and then saying, that but I don't know what to do.
Yeah. That like, was, yeah. This is a me thing.
Yeah.
But being help. Open to, yeah, being open to growing in that or to having like a suggestion of what you could do and being open to whatever that looks like, even right. if it's something that you don't want
so
to do.
One or the other. Here's the thing that I'm going to share with Carla that I'm doing, because I have been talking a lot with leadership at our church. Well, none of us go to the same church.
Are you being a naggy Nancy?
My church. No, I'm hopefully being a constructive Carla.
Okay. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Constructive Carla.
Is this about the school?
Yeah, it's about like what I've been thinking about this. What can I do? I don't just want to be like, oh, we do this wrong. We're not raising up children in a way that they stay Christians. You know, we're not actually doing a good job discipling. So somebody fix it. Like I want to actually be solutions oriented. And so one of the things I think I'm going to do is start setting up shop at the church on Fridays.
That sounds fun.
For when? Like a co-op?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily a co-op, because it might just be
me
and my kids, but like, like having school there so that anybody who's curious about how it looks for us and has any questions or just kind of wants to be, you know, looking at us like a zoo exhibit or something, I'm fine with that. Like show up and like if it's established that we do school at the church on Friday, anybody who might have questions about homeschooling and wants to look in on it can do that. And there may not be anybody there. Like we may do school the whole rest of this year and never really have anybody necessarily take us up on that offer, but
I can come.
I do really picture you guys behind glass and you don't hear anything, but you see no. Mandy working.
And there's like a plaque
here,
that like describes this here. Is a, this is a contemporary Christian homeschool family.
Everyone else walks in with a lab coat and a clipboard and they're just studying here you behind see the glass. The,
here you see the homeschool mom in her natural habitat.
Hair in a bun, sweatpants.
Notice some of the children are still in their pajamas.
Goldfish in her pocket.
Do not stick your finger fingers between the bars.
Do not feed
There's
them.
A toddler in there.
At least one child is now pantsless and on the floor in the fetal position crying.
So let's be thinking about that. We're about 45 minutes. Let's be thinking about like how to still notice when things are wrong. You know, notice when some things need some tweaking or some fixing, but not turn into... I guess the type of know-it-all who doesn't actually know anything and just thinks they
you
know
mean
it all.
Me.
No, that's fine.
It's gonna make the pregnant person cry again.
I'm saying, like, you know, we
now
should.
Now the mother is crying.
We should have a spirit about us that makes people go, "Oh, that's a thoughtful woman who cares about her family and her church, not just a negative complainer who likes to hear herself talk." Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I want. I don't want to just be seen as this person who likes the sound of her own voice.
Oh, wouldn't it be wild if you walked into a church and the pastor goes, "That's a woman that has solutions."
Yeah.
Woo. That got like very feminist really fast, but oh, that
sounds good. Fade in our music here.
Real feminism, the rah-rah feminism.
The actual feminism.
Why can't I hear it?
Even exile.
I was going to say like a true feminine. I feel like they overtook that label.
Proverbs 31, woman.
There
it's
we go.
It's still going, because I think I'm going to restart this music.
Oh. Ooh. Do you want Should we dance? Talking? It's a shame that Carla can't see me dance right now.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to fade out.
It's a shame that Carla can't see most of our facial expressions.
Fade out and fade back in.
Hello.
And fade out again.
Goodbye, Carla.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.